Hop a day, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
What is the end? The end is so worthy. We get to show off the goodness and worthiness and greatness and caringness of God.
That was Pastor F.G. Holmscher, an associate pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our special guest speaker on Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Pastor F.G. Holmscher shares the 10th of our 12 marks of a difference maker, found in the book of James, as he helps us to realize the importance of being patient with people. Today's message is called Five Reasons to Pray for Patience.
James starts out with a scalding reprimand of the rich. Now we know that it's not wrong to have this world's riches. What is wrong is using the world's riches for things that are against God. In verse 7, he kind of changes. It's almost as if he's been addressing this group. He says, "You rich people, you're doing wrong, and you're treating others wrongly." And then it's almost like he turns his head and he says, "Be patient therefore, brother." So what is he saying? He's saying to those who are not the rich. He's saying to those who are not these people who are using others for the sake of personal gain. He's talking to the people who are being used. He says, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." Why should we seek and why should we apply and why should we look to have patience with people? James said the first reason is because the stakes are so high. You see the illustration there he uses? He jumps right into the illustration of the husbandman or the farmer. And he says, the farmer plants the seed, and because of the preciousness of the fruit, he's long-suffering. So he patiently endures whatever nature brings to him, and whatever the trial that comes, he patiently endures it because he knows the harvest is coming and it's worth it. What is it that we're after? What is it that we are waiting to see? What is it that we're planting and longing and hoping to see the fruit of at another time? You see, Paul talked about this in Philippians chapter 3 in verse 14. He says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I don't know about for you, brothers and sisters, but it's that moment. It's that moment when I stand before my Savior. I long and I press and I pray and I hope and I make decisions so that one day I might hear, you know the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." It resonates, it goes all the way down. Our patience with people affects our eternal created purpose. You see, the stakes are high. But not only that, number two, the time is so short. We should pray for patience because the stakes are so high. And number two, we should pray for patience and we should seek after patience and we should apply patience with people because the time is so short. If you'll notice here in this passage, verses 7, verses 8, and verses 9 all have reference to the coming of Christ. But you know what? The scripture is very clear. It could happen at any moment. Are you excited about that day? It should be an exciting day. And it will be if we're living in light of that day. If we realize the stakes are so high, it's His glory that's on the line. And we realize that time is so short, it could be today. Another reason to go after patience is because the alternative is so sorrowful. So the first one is the stakes are so high, you should treasure the eternal. And number two, the time is so short, resolve your will. And number three, verse number 9, follow after patience. You should pray for patience. We as a body should show, display patience to one another because the alternative is so sorrowful. And this verse here is where we get patient with people, because it says, verse 9, "Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door." Grumble not, grudge not. If you look in different translations, there's different words. This word grudge in our current vernacular means I shouldn't hold anything against another person. But you know what? Whenever we're trying to squirm our ways out of sin, we can play all kinds of mental games with ourselves, can't we? I can be disappointed by a brother or sister, and I can go, "But I forgive him." And I really don't forgive them, but I try to just put it away. But inside I remember, yeah, they're like this. You see, James takes us beyond this mental, "I am holding a grudge against so-and-so." James says, he uses a word here in Greek that doesn't have anything to do really with even uttering a word. It's a sigh. It's a grunt. That simple. It's an internal matter of the heart, even if it never makes it to words, even if it never makes it to words here. If it comes out as a psh, then that's it. You've just broken James 5, verse 9, grudge not one against another. What does it mean? It means this is a seed of bitterness. And Hebrews 12 tells us very clearly, do not allow the seed of bitterness to be planted in your heart, because it may spring up a root of bitterness, and by that many be defiled. And when many are defiled, the glory of God is lost. The issue here is we will all one day stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He says there, lest you be condemned. And he says, behold, the judge standeth at the door. Jesus is the judge, and we will stand before him. And those of us who believe in Jesus as our Savior, thankfully, his blood on the cross means there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We are not eternally responsible for the punishment of that sin. However, we will be judged according to our works, the Bible says. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, it talks about the judgment of the believer and how we will stand before him and our works will be tried so as by fire. And that which comes out to his glory, that which comes out as gold, silver, and precious stones, will be that which brings him honor. But the wood, hay, and the stubble would be the complaining and the lack of patience with the brother or sister. And that will burn. And the Bible says there may be some who stand before the Lord and they have nothing to show, nothing to offer him, no good thing, honest good thing with the right motive of pleasing him. They'll be saved. They'll enter the kingdom on the merit of Christ alone, but they'll have nothing to show him for their life. And the Bible says there will be sorrow, there'll be loss. You see, we should follow after patience with our brothers and sisters because the alternative is so sorrowful. It means the end where God's glory is lost in our life. Maybe that's why the psalmist said in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Brothers and sisters, I urge you, as I must myself, before the Lord, bow your heart and ask him to search you. Is there any, what the King James calls grudge? Is there any brother or sister that when you think of them, you just like, ugh. Because that is standing between you and giving God the glory. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 has always been a dagger for me. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Think through our body. Think through your family members. Is there any name that if I were to say that name or someone were to bring that name up, immediately there's something in you that just, that's standing between you and the glory of God. That's not patience. That's not long-suffering. That's not long-tempered. That's not enduring the offenses and injuries of others with a mild spirit. So we should guard our heart, and that's the action point, because the alternative is so sorrowful. Guard our heart and ask the Lord to search it. Number 4, we should follow after patience because the examples we have are so humbling. Verses 10 and 11, James takes us and says, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. And you've heard of the patience of Job. He brings us to examples, and you can find a good list of these examples in Hebrews chapter 11. And these are men who, according to 1 Peter, just another page over, men who didn't have the knowledge of the Savior that we had. They were receiving word from God, and it was their job, it was their responsibility to give that word out. But sometimes they were giving out, and they didn't even know like what it really meant. They were given prophecies about this Savior, and they believed that there would be this Savior, and they were diligent in giving the message just as they heard it, but they were giving the message for someone else. And that was us. Because now we can take the pages of Scripture and we can look back through and we can read the words of the prophets and we can read the Gospels and we can match them up. In fact, the Gospels is full of places where, and this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet so-and-so. We are the benefactors of the ones who've gone before, the prophets who didn't have the full picture. They just had a little bit and they were faithful to proclaim that little bit in the midst of incredible, harsh circumstances. I don't know what it would be like to be a Jeremiah being told when you're old enough to be cognizant of God's call upon your life. Oh yeah, Jeremiah, by the way, I chose you from the womb and no one's going to believe you and no one's going to care about you. In fact, you're going to live a really rotten life, but I need you to be faithful. What is that? But what did he do? He was faithful to the very end. Wow, that's quite the example. And the list goes on and on and on. And he ends with one particular name, Job. We've all heard the story of Job, and I can't get over the fact that it's the oldest book in the Bible. In other words, it was the first one written, which means there was less of this revelation than perhaps any other time. I mean, I guess there was oral revelation. But Job, the only thing he knew about God was what other people told him, what he found out on his own relationship, but there was none of this. And Job was brought incredibly harsh circumstances in his life, having no idea what was going on behind the scenes in the heavenlies. And God brought that trial and those people and those situations into his life, and he endured it all with such great grace. What an example. You see, these men kept reminding themselves of the truth, and that's what we have to do. We have to speak to ourselves the truth. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, we have the Word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even unto the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, sometimes our soul and spirit. We have the written Word of God. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit, and we have a great high priest who loves to bestow God's grace in this circumstance. We have more than enough to go through this, more than any other of these examples had. We need to remind ourselves, we need to discipline our mind with the truth. This is just a test, and it is able to be passed because there were those who were gone before who were less prepared and had less tools in their hands, and they were able to be patient, and they were able to stay under the circumstance with the right heart and right spirit. So we should be patient because the examples are so humbling. Therefore, discipline our mind, and finally, the end. We should be patient because the end is so worthy. What does it say about Job? It says, at the end, and you have seen because of Job's trial and because he got to the end, because he was faithful to the end, and you have seen the end of the Lord. God gets the last word. And what is the last word? What is it that Job's trial brought to light? Job's trial brought to light that God is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Very pitiful. We don't usually use that phrase. And there's a reason why you usually don't use that phrase. It comes from the idea of many-stomached. What? Many-stomached? What does that have to do with anything? Well, when my wife has an emotion, she often feels it here. So if it's excitement, it's, oh, my stomach hurts. If it's sadness, oh, my stomach hurts. I don't know if you have a similar experience, but that's the way the Hebrews thought of it. This area was the seat of emotion. And the Bible is saying that the Lord has many of these. In other words, he's full of feeling. He's full of caring for you. God is full of caring for you. What is the end? The end is so worthy. We get to show off the goodness and worthiness and greatness and caringness of God. You see, if we are patient until the end with our brothers and sisters, we can stand with Solomon and say, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath who keepest the covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. You see, he cares according to 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. So we can give our hurts to him, the hurts that we've received from others, brothers and sisters, and we can love him. We can love him enough to love others unconditionally because he cares. So what's the action point? Love him. Love your Lord enough to show your brothers and sisters the patience that you've received from him. Because he is a caring God.
That was Pastor F.G. Holmsher, the assistant pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, and our speaker today for Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.